This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Belle.
Belle, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm feeling negative or positive or forceful. Yeah, lots of feelings.
Yeah. It's a season finale, Belle. Here we are again with the season finale here of The Flash. And I don't think that even the makers of the season finale thought they were making a season finale. I think they thought, in fact, I know they thought they were making a series finale, and then they got another season. So yeah.
Right? The little cliffhanger that we got there, we'll talk about that.
Now we're going to talk about it.
We'll talk about it all. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go. I'm Bo. He's Bell. This is Flash TV Talk. We already said that. The TV Talk podcast. Subscribe. TVTalk.fm. Patreon.com/TV Talk is how you make this happen. And you know what? You get a lot of other great stuff as well here from the good folks at TV Talk. Not only are you getting these Flash TV Talks, we've been putting out some Kenobi TV Talk. We got some Miss Marvel TV Talk. We got some a Westworld TV Talk going on right now. We got a lot of TV Talk coming at you. We got Belle. I think yours and my Kenobi TV Talk is actually coming out next week, which I'm really looking forward to putting out there. It's a full episode breaking down the entire season with yourself. We also need to do an Umbrella Academy. Have you seen Umbrella Academy Season 3?
Finished it this weekend.
Did you really? It's so good, yeah. Right? Did you like it?
Very good. I liked
it. Okay.
Very good. Very cool. Very cool.
All right, man. Wait, we got an episode of The Flash to talk about here. So you ready for this?
Let's jump. I always want to do it. You asked me that.
No, you did it last time, and it worked out so well.
I think it's the perfect thing. So sorry I just ruined it, but let's jump into The Rundown.
Episode 20 of Season 8, Negative, Part 2. Directed by Marcus Stokes and story by
Eric Wallace.
Hey, that's the guy with the thing. Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, the Negative Forces transform Thawne into their new avatar. In the Negative Speed Force, they explain to Barry that this is their revenge for when he weakened them by removing Thawne's speed. Barry, Mina, Bart, and Nora fight Thawne in Central City, but he sends the latter three back in time. Meanwhile, Cecile rescues Bashir and transfers her powers to him, which he uses to rescue the other forces so they can aid Barry. Iris is saved by the Time Stone, and Damian Dark helps her resurrect herself. Jay Garrick reunites her with Barry, and with the help from the forces, he reverses a powerful attack from Thawne into him, removing him from the timeline. After the universe resets, Iris is cured of her time sickness, and the speedsters return to their native time. The block is depowered, and Mina loses her speed. The CRC malfunctions, and Mark encounters someone claiming to be a friend. Mona and Dylan's powers are restored while Cecile develops telekinesis. Tinia and Renee are reunited. Iris mentions that the NSF will find a new avatar, and Barry states that he'll be ready. Meanwhile, a blue crystal is shown at a laboratory in 2049.
Dun, dun, dun. Wait, that was 2049. I think I missed that date.
Yeah, it was. It was. Oh gosh. Was it? It wasn't June 29th, was it?
I think
the day was the 29th, and I know it was 2049.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date, but they showed it exactly on a calendar as to what the date was.
Okay, this is granted. This is jumping like straight to speedster speculation, but why not? I mean, like, you know, like this episode had so much. This episode was like. It was like a fruitcake meets a gumbo meets a kitchen sink. Like they got everything in this episode. So many.
They really did.
Yeah. You know, like loose threads you forgot about because they weren't that interesting. Came right on back into this one. Like we got all of the stuff. This was, I mean, let's just go ahead and acknowledge it because it has been acknowledged that they went into this season finale thinking that it was probably going to be a series finale. Now that is probably true of most television shows when they're writing the end of the season for the most part, especially one like this one that has been on a ratings trajectory down. Most, by the way, shows are. That ends up happening. It's a natural progression of a show. It's not any kind of massive criticism. It just is what it is. That being said, there's a long tail on this here Flash Dog, and one of the things that we're finding is that as they kind of build towards these big conclusions, especially this one in particular, it really did feel like this was the season finale, like this was going to be it. But we knew going in that was not the case, and then, you know, fortunately they had enough time to tweak it to make sure that it was set up some things for next season, and that's what we got here. Bell, we've got everybody coming back. We got all the forces. We got the Nora forces. We got the negative forces. We got the positive forces. We got the we got Damian freaking Dark coming back here. We got
full
circle, man. Armageddon making sense in ways that it didn't make sense before. They planted some seeds then. They harvested the crop on this one. It worked out really, really well in that regard. We got Jay coming back. We got multiple Noras. We got at least three Noras in this episode. So there's a lot going on in this one. And the teacup. We got the teacup meeting her arch nemesis, the coffee cup with the wrong coffee in it. We got all kinds of stuff, man. And fortunately, we got the confirmation. Iris, not dead. Okay. You know, Barry's like losing his mind, right? Because he just saw a pretty horrific image of Thawne ripping out Thawne and everything else and using Iris to do it. And he's like, she's gone. And I'm like, Barry, buddy, she's been gone for several episodes. You know, like.
Didn't seem to bother you then.
Didn't seem to bother you then. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, all right, well, you know, it is what it is. I feel very conflicted. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I like Thawne, feel myself ripped in two and have a lot of different feelings about this. This episode had some epic moments and it has some really, really cool things, but it had a lot of stuff that I was like, okay, all right, that's cool. When I signed up for a Flash series, I realize over time this has become Power Rangers, but I didn't want it to become Power Rangers. Anyway, that's where
you're,
I'm at.
You're talking about the forces, like the force powering him up and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I think people have been throwing the Power Rangers criticism for some time, especially as we've got multiple speedsters with multiple different kind of colors and the lightning and everything else. And Barry going all unlimited power, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I get it. I mean, like, there's a lot going on here that doesn't seem very flashy. That being said, I don't know, man. This one, it's no secret how I feel about the forces. I don't know. I'm a mixed bag for this one. But what about you?
So my thought at the end, at the final confrontation there, when the positive forces showed up and they all turned these different colors and went to Barry, I was like, is this Power Rangers? Like that was the thought that went through my head.
Right.
Yeah, they're summoning the Mega Barry.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, you know, it was I thought the introduction of the negative forces was interesting. Because, you know, it sort of made sense, I guess, because if you have a positive force, you want to balance it with a negative force. And the negative forces were like pulling the strings all along. And there was that reveal there. So it's like, why is Dion being so weird? It's because he's a negative force. And OK, that makes sense. And then when all the forces powered up the negative forces powered up Eobard, I was kind of like, I was hoping that there would be something where it was like Eobard destroyed the negative forces and absorbed their power as opposed to
yes
that is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Eobard be like, oh, you've made a huge mistake, and essentially kill them and absorb their power or something like that. And like, you know, not necessarily absorb their abilities, like the tentacles coming out of him and stuff, and like, you know, stopping time and whatnot. That, like, I wanted him to be like, this is useless, I just want your power for more speed, right? And that's kind of what I was hoping that we were going to find out there, is that like basically the end of it was going to be he destroys the negative forces, the positive forces feed, you know, sacrifice themselves to feed Speed into Barry, and then we don't have forces anymore. It's just Speed Force and, you know, negative Speed Force, right?
Yeah.
And they're both powered. They've been supercharged by the energy, the life force, whatever you want to call it, of the other forces. Like, that's kind of the expectation that I had going into it. And that's not exactly what we saw. And, you know, I mean, it was still a pretty neat little thing. Like, I like the suit. I like the new Reverse Flash suit. It reminded me a lot of Daniel West's Reverse Flash or Professor Zoom. It was kind of like blink and you miss it, but like you could see, so he had like the muscle striations on the suit, and then the inner suit, there were in between, it was like you could see the little red lining in between the little pieces of black, and so that's what kind of reminded me of that. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Interesting. The suit for me, I was not as big a fan of. I mean, Eobard looks better in yellow, and so, I mean, I really, you know, it was fine for what it was, but it looked a little derelict. from Zoolander.
Well, like, I feel like it was an homage to other.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That is definitely the case. And I mean, like, that's fine. I mean, it is what it is, and it worked for what they were trying to do. So two things. One, I will say the fight sequence, with the exception of the tentacle, which was weird and kind of lame, everything else about that fight sequence was absolutely incredible. Like, that was like when he ripped when he still forced down the plane, and then Barry had to catch, you know, like that was awesome. There was a lot. I mean, like, you could tell, like, the entirety, there was a lot of budget spent on that one very brief sequence. And it does kind of make you just realize, man, they want to do a lot with the very little they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this would be very interesting if we had this somewhere else, if this wasn't living on the CW. You know what I mean? Like, what would an HBO Flash series be like? That would be
crazy.
Awesome. Yes. I mean, like, I think, you know, and that's probably the future. I mean, one of the realities is we're kind of living off the fumes of the CW era, like, you know, the Arrowverse era, the CW superhero era. Like, we rode that high, and now we've kind of been like just living off the fumes of it ever since. And you see that in these moments that they give you that are like incredible. And you could tell they want to do more. There's more like creative ideas and like the imagination is there, but the budget isn't. And because the budget is not, you know, perhaps some of the special effects suffer, some of the writing suffers, some of the, like, because of the time constraints, as well as having to pull and stretch a lot of time while also managing your various characters. It's just, it kind of becomes a jumbled mess. And so, anyway, all that to say, that sequence was incredible. But Bell, you touched on something that is probably one of my biggest issues with this entire finale. And that is, I love the idea of, look, we got the forces, negative speed forces, makes sense. That's cool. They need a negative avatar, of course. I don't even have a problem with the idea that they chose Eobard from that standpoint because of his hatred of Barry. That fits, that works, that's awesome. But when they all gave him his power, him just being like, like another one of them, like, I'm gonna team up with y'all, like, no.
Yeah.
No, Eobard should have killed them right then and absorbed the power. Like that should have been, and for a minute there, I thought that's where we were going. But I was not a huge fan of Eobard suddenly becoming a team player and, like, you know, at one point, like, pseudo praying to them for more power. It's like, no, this is not Eobard. This is not who this dude is.
I mean, it would have fit, right? Because, like, he absorbs all this power. He doesn't know his limits. And that was the whole thing, is, like, Barry was saying at the end, is, like, he didn't know what his limits were, and that's what ended up destroying him, right? And so he absorbs all this power, and he tries to channel it all, but he can't. And so that's what ends up destroying him. Like, it would work the same way. It's just, he just kills the forces, and then you have to add a scene where the other forces, because there's no counterbalance to them, they have to sacrifice themselves for the Speed Force, basically.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I think I feel like that would work more towards Eobard's character. And I mean, I don't, the universe is in balance now. I don't know if we're ever going to see the forces again. It would be a great send off for them too. But now it just feels like, oh yeah, the forces are going to be there. They might mention them here and there, but I don't think we're going to see them again.
Yeah, it'd be great if we don't. I'll just say that. It would be great if we don't.
Yeah. It would have put a pin in the I don't want to say nail in the coffin because that's kind of negative, but it would have put a pin, right? In the forces bit, and it would have been done, and they served a noble purpose to help Barry defeat his arch nemesis, and like, it's done, it's over, and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
But here's the reality, though, of course, is that we will see them again. We know that, you know, the setup, you know, the implication is that blue crystal, which we'll talk about more later, is likely to be the new avatar for the negative speed force, right? And that's kind of where they're going. It's interesting, though. I mean, this kind of part of what I don't love about the way this is all done is the fact that we're playing around with a lot of different colors, with a lot of different meanings, and we got a bunch of different people with all the same name. The writing is a mess. I'm sorry. The writing in this series is an absolute mess. Like, there's some cool ideas that we even see here, right? Like, we see, with Fast Track, that her connection to the negative speed force is not a pure one. So it doesn't appear as red lightning. She's got kind of this white, black lightning, and very similar to what we've seen with Velocity and the way that it's kind of this not, you know, this fake connection to the speed force. And, you know, I think that there was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. Cause I was wondering what is that Darksaber-esque approach to her lightning? What does that mean? What does that represent? Does it represent anything? Is it safe to even speculate here? Or are you just going to tell me it looks pretty? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to...
Yeah, they saw the Darksaber and they're like, ooh, we want to do that.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, it might be a little bit of both. Maybe it does look awesome, but also it is kind of, they talk about the fact she's a false avatar. She wasn't the one that the negative forces chose. She was trying to connect to it. But because she doesn't have that kind of spiritual or, you know, demonic, if you want to go that route, kind of connection with the negative speed force, then it was never going to be her. Yeah. So I guess we're not done with the forces in totality yet. This was a better force story than the one that we got before. I will say that overall, I dug what they did with the idea of bringing Eobard back and having him be the avatar of the negative speed force as being kind of the resurrection. They gave him such a brutal resurrection that I feel like killing him off was actually kind of a, you know, I don't know. I think that makes sense if this was the series finale, but since it's not the series finale, I think killing him off was maybe not the best direction to go. I think that, yeah. I don't know. So much work was done to bring him back, and it had a good kind of cost that came along with it. And then it was expunged very quickly. And that was unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. But the one thing I do want to mention about the fight, though, like you were saying, like it was super cool, like the things that we got in there. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but did it seem like they were running a whole lot faster? Because like a lot of the scenes where they show them running fast, it's like a static shot of the speedster running with the background going by really quickly, or it's an overhead shot of them running really fast. It's a static camera shot with them running really fast through the frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
This one, it looked like they did, I don't know, whatever they did that changed it, I think they were moving the camera and the characters, and it made it look faster.
It like, did, yeah.
They looked so much faster than previous, you know, Speed Force fight scenes that we've seen in the past.
right.
Which I thought was really neat, and it really sort of lended to that whole powered up kind of thing, which I thought was pretty cool. So
yeah. No. Yeah. It was you know, the fight sequences really were, again, tentacle notwithstanding, pretty awesome. That
you're cool, not you.
yeah. Back in the line. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, like I mentioned, man, we got so many returning guests and special folks. Jay Garrick, of course, coming back. There was one. I need to reference this, though, because this is something that also kind of bothered me about the last fight. I hate to be so negative, but in all fairness,
that is the title of the episode.
The one person who it kind of bothers me that we didn't see, especially knowing that they kind of went into this thinking it was going to be the finale, and especially the way in which the final fight went down, was Wally. Like, I feel like Wally should have been there because of his more kind of, you know, they set him up early on as being more the spiritual one when it relates to the Speed Force, kind of teaching Barry some things. Every once in a while, we get a throwaway line of like, oh, yeah, no, I did a Zoom call with Wally and he taught me how to meditate with something or another. Like, cool. I feel like this should have been it. Like, Barry doing that whole, like, meditative Qui-Gon Jinn, you know, strike me down or whatever it may be, like, that should have been Wally that was kind of like encouraging to do that, right?
Flash is sitting there, right? He doesn't know what to do. And then we get like a Speed Force ghost of Wally who's like, use the speed force.
Use the forces. Yes. Yes.
Use the forces. Yeah.
Let's go.
Exactly.
Baby.
Yeah, that would have been great because, like, you know, he still wants to kill him and, like, he knows he can't because, like, that's not going to work. So he doesn't know how to defeat him. And then Wally, you know, shows up in, like, an apparition or, like, just in his head, his voice, you know, him remembering a conversation that they had.
Right.
Would have been great for him to, like, to hear that and then do the sit down and the meditate thing.
Honestly, if they had killed Wally, like, a while back, that would be really epic if he, like, literally did come back through the Speed Force as a ghost in that moment. Because then you don't have to make it, like you don't have to do a lot of setup and everything else. You could kind of use him in that way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they should have killed Wally. I'm just saying, you know, he hadn't been around. He might as well be dead.
Yeah.
They could, you know, I feel like we had him, which was great, and then we've never gotten him back, and which is not great. So...
Yeah. It would have been a nice kind of homage to his character or something like that.
Yeah.
If maybe, like, that was one of the things that he did, was he transcended into the Speed Force.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
part
cool.
of his meditations. And then, you know, yeah, he comes back to Barry to guide him, you know, one last time and, defeat Eobard.
Yep. 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 So we see that the Sage Force had been reaching out to Cecile, which was kind of the reason for her, kind of upgrade of powers and the things that were going on with her, being in flux. You know, we've mentioned it before, you know, a season finale, we need a magic, you know, we need a magic thing that can fix everything. Cecile! Does her powers do that? Sure. Yeah. Plug her into
a
machine.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wear a hat. Wear a mask. Like, you're fine. You're good. You're good. Like,
I was kind of hoping that instead of Bashir's mask, it was going to be the Psycho Pirate mask.
I was... too. But you know what? That's what we get. They give us, like, oh, Cecile's going to be Psycho Pirate for, like, a split second. Oh, Cecile's going to be the Thinker for, like, a split second. Oh, Cecile's now going to be the Stage Force for a split second. And then it's like, no, listen, she is the teacup now, okay? You double down, you triple down on this. I want her having the whole emotional spectrum, okay? Command of the emotional spectrum. That's a cool concept. It's visually stunning. It looks awesome. She doesn't need to be force pulling coffee, but fine, whatever. Like, just... It's such a cool idea. Like, just stick with the, like, you did it. You know, slow down, yeah. Go back. You did it. You did it.
I'm guessing the idea was, is that maybe they couldn't do the emotional spectrum. And so they wanted to remove that.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just speculating here. It's wild speculation, but it would feel like such a crime to just depower Cecile. And just basically, you know, take away all of her, you know, agency as a hero and stuff. So they took away the stuff that maybe they couldn't flesh out into what I'm assuming is going to be the last season. And instead, they gave her telekinesis.
She's the Martian Manhunter, man. She's the mental Martian Manhunter. Whatever they need, they just like, oh, yeah, her powers could do that now. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, phasing. Sure. Yeah, phasing. Shape-shifting. Yeah, you go ahead. Just shape-shifting. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Invulnerable. Yeah. Yeah. Laser vision? Sure. Yeah. What other powers? We could just toss it in here. all right. So there you go. Want to talk about, speaking of speculation, man, you know, you and I throughout this season have been trying to speculate behind the scenes in terms of what's going on. You know, I've even made mention of the fact that they kind of have applied Cecile's character in areas where you kind of feel like this feels like this should be an Iris conversation. We feel like especially like the chemistry between her and Barry, and kind of being that family connection, that human connection, whatever it may be. Like it seems as though these should be Barry and Iris moments. And so we've been wondering what has been going on behind the scenes. Now, so good news, Iris will return for next season. So she's not off the show. And I almost called you Barry. Belle, you've been doing a little snooping. You've been doing a little snooping. You've been kind of going, sneaking around Hollywood. You've been sneaking around Canada and the sets and whatnot. You've been doing, you had your ear to the ground, the scuttlebutt, you know, to what's been going on. Enlighten us, man. What has been going on with Candace?
Yeah, so you know, we had thought that, or I, you know, in dire, you know, bad speculation, was thinking I hope it's not something to do with on-set behavior of cast members or producers or anything like that. Turns out that it wasn't. It was a contract thing that she had. So I'm going to read her statement. This is a statement that she posted on social media. So I will let her do the talking. But yeah, so she wrote, "I hope you all enjoyed season 8. I know there's been some confusion about my 4-episode absence this season, so let me clarify. My season 8 contract was designed by myself and my team in such a way to protect myself in the event that the borders between Canada and the U.S. closed again, making it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get home to the U.S., which is paramount to me. My team and I made it clear at the time of negotiations and signing and throughout the season that should the coronavirus border situation around summer, fall of 2021 continue to stay optimistic, and it was clear early on that it would, that I would be more than happy to be featured in all episodes. That option was ultimately not exercised, and we respect that decision. I hope that offers clarity, and I really hope everyone enjoyed the season overall." So it essentially what it boils down to was in her contract, they said, you know, if she can't get home, then that's a bad thing. But if everything's going to be fine and she won't get stuck in Canada, she'll be in all 20 episodes. So the agreement that they came to, it looks like, is that she would only be in 16 episodes. Even though the coronavirus situation was looking better around the time of filming, I'm assuming at that point it was probably too late in the production to write her into the other episodes. So they just went ahead with the plan that they had initially. So I'm guessing that what happened was is they, with that in mind in her contract, they wrote it in such a way where they could, you know, exclude her if need be. In case
kind of
she, you know,
for the worst case scenario type.
Exactly.
Situation.
Exactly. And so, and yeah, so that makes sense. You know, it's kind of a crappy situation, but like, you know, these productions, you can't, you know, you have deadlines to hit and stuff like that. So you can't just rewrite a bunch of episodes and, right, you know, refilm stuff if you can't do it. So I'm glad to hear that it wasn't anything related to drama on set or anything. Cause I know there's history of that with this show.
Well, with this franchise as a whole, I mean, the grander franchise as a whole, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And this show as well. But I'm just saying that, like, you can argue even the industry as a whole, but like, specifically, this has not been a franchise that is without fault with the way that it's treated its performers, both, you know, on screen and behind. So here's the deal. Okay, cool. That actually makes a ton of sense. Like, the question is, why didn't they tell us? Like, why is this coming? Like, why does Candace have to be the one to tell us? And B, like, what? Like, why are we just finding that out now when there was such confusion and everything else? I guarantee this had to do with contract negotiations for sure with the next contract. I mean, again, I'm just still speculating. I'm just assuming the worst. But
well, I mean, I'm guessing it's because, you know, you don't want to, like, mention that your star is not going to be in 4 episodes of the show. Right, because, you know, that could be considered a spoiler. Right, there could be some you know, people think, oh, well, are they going to kill off Iris? Like,
it's,
you know, what
COVID,
episode is she
though
not going to be?
Like,
in,
that's
blah, blah,
the
blah
thing. I feel like we're in kind of a mode where it's like, no, that makes, like, I bet everybody's contract is like all over the map when it comes to kind of COVID securities and then also just travel restrictions, especially when you've got so much production that's happening in Canada and some of the talent that's coming from the U.S. Like, that makes a lot of sense. I don't think that anybody would. You know, like, I don't know that would really be considered that much a spoiler. I think there's still a missing piece here, Bell. I think
Well, it could also be NDAs on their that's contracts.
True. That's yeah, that makes sense.
Where you can't discuss this stuff until after the season's over, because the studio's worried about whatever reason, you know.
All right, no, I I've gotten the reports. I know you've been going around Hollywood. I know you've been going around Vancouver. People have seen you. You've been wearing the gorilla costume. It's not even working anymore. Like, they know it's you. So I realize that people are starting to be tight-lipped. But I need you to get back out there, man. I need you to you know, hide behind ferns. All right, go to, like, the swanky actor and actor and producer type restaurants where they've got the pictures of everybody up on the wall. And I need you to hide behind the ferns. And I need you with a little notepad, okay? And in a little listening device, and I need you to get the full story, because I'm telling you, we're missing something here, bud.
I'll see what I can do.
You got this. Well, I believe in you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Your confidence means a lot.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, so a lot going on in this, but there is some speculation to have. Before I do it, I got to say, Caitlin Snow, not in this episode.
Well, she had a line, but we didn't see her face.
No, Belt, I don't think she did get a line, actually.
You don't think that was
I don't think Caitlin Snow.
Danielle Panabaker?
I didn't say Danielle Panabaker. I said Caitlin Snow.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Caitlin Snow.
I'm telling you.
Not in this finale. All right.
Killer Snow, perhaps.
Killer Snow, perhaps. Yes, I think that was probably Killer Snow. But we'll see.
I so hope they go with Killer Snow. I'll feel so vindicated if they do.
It's gonna. You mean just in terms of the name? Because they're definitely going with like the Killer Snow concept. But will they call her Killer Snow? They better.
If they do, I'll feel so good.
What if she kills Chilblain right then and there? Then she'll.
I thought that was going to happen. That'd be awesome. In that scene. I thought he was dead for sure.
She better look crazy. Like, he was reacting like he didn't know what he was looking at. I like, she needs to go, like, full-on Mr. Freeze, like, crazy.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's what they'll throw some budget into, is, like, some awesome, like, makeup effects for Killer Snow.
Yeah. All right. Hashtag Killer Snow. Looking forward to it. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with some speculation.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow.
Hold on. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster speculation.
All right, man. Speedster speculation. We got left with a blue crystal in 2049. So wait, real quick. I think we finally got a little bit of some clarification here, because you know, you and I, we were like, why does Jay look so good in the future? Well, it turns out Jay is from the future. There's a younger Jay Garrick somewhere in our current timeline, right?
Yeah.
Oh. We could have a young Jay Garrick as a Kid Flash.
We could.
Oh, snap. This is just a cha-ching. like that. That they'd never do it. That's a cool idea though. If they did like a kid, if he found a young Jay, like, and that became the new Kid Flash for like a hot minute, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Oh, I'd love it. So we did kind of get a little bit more of a confirmation there. And maybe they've alluded to that before, but I think we've just been kind of this question of like, is he, you know, what's going on here? But that seems to be the case. Okay, Blue Crystal Laboratory 2049. Bell, I think that it is safe at this point in time to speculate, assume, and project that what we are looking at here is a illusion to a blue crystalline villain from The Flash that has been sought after on the series since all the way back to the season finale of season one. Bell, I present to you Cobalt Blue.
I mean, that's the first thing that I thought as well when I saw that crystal. I was thinking Cobalt Blue, but do you think that it's going to be Eddie?
No. did I think that going into this when I was hearing the Cobalt Blue rumblings? Yes. Do I think that it is after seeing this episode? No. I don't think it's gonna be Eddie. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be like some massive fan. Like, there has been massive fan casting to bring back Rick Cosnett to portray Eddie again as Cobalt Blue, but no, I don't think so, man. I think what we got at the beginning of this season was kind of his official send off, and that's about it.
Yeah, probably so.
It's unfortunate. It'd be great to bring him back for the series like finale villain.
I know, right? Like that would be really, really cool. And maybe he'll use facial technology to make himself look like Eddie to confuse them in the beginning or something. I don't know.
That would be kind of cool. And a nice nod to kind of the desire that the fans want. I don't know. I mean, okay. So I that would be amazing. If they're able to do it and pull it off, that'd be a great choice. Here's something else they could potentially do though, right? So, you know, what do you know of Cobalt Blue, a.k.a. Malcolm Thawne?
From what I understand, it's like Barry's twin brother or something. And they were separated at birth, and one was raised by the Thawnes, and you know obviously Barry was raised by his parents, and so they're either half brothers or brothers, and he got his power through this crystal thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. But was he pulled through time at some point?
It's the Flash. Everybody was pulled through time at some point.
Right. But like, you know, with Barry being a kid and like, how would, you know, Nora not know she was having twins?
There was some sort of weird time sickness, something or another. I can't fully remember exactly what it was, but, It's been a minute. I don't fully remember.
But the comics canon is that, Cobalt Blue and the Flash are brothers.
Yeah, if you need to distill it down, that's exactly right. They're kind of the evil twin idea, right? Is that that's who Cobalt Blue is. It has this kind of blue flame that is kind of this, you know, crystallized looking. I think it was a blue gem, if I'm remembering correctly, that could kind of allow him to create these like fire blue crystal constructs, I guess, for lack of a better term. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out here. My guess is we're going in a very, very different direction, which is perfectly fine. Now, I would normally, I guess, speculate that if this wasn't, you know, specifically Eddie, that perhaps we could be dealing with a twin brother situation and bring in Rick to play Malcolm, who is Eddie's twin brother. The idea.
Oh, so like Eddie had a twin brother as opposed to Barry.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's how I would imagine that the series would play around with that concept. But again, they might not even go twin. They could go with an older brother. The thing that throws like a whole wrench into this entire situation is the fact that we're talking about the future. Now, granted, we don't necessarily know. That could be an artifact from a previous battle that the Flash had in the past, right? Like just because the crystal's in the future and in some laboratory doesn't mean that's the origin story of Cobalt Blue. That could very well be the finale of Cobalt Blue, where we start the final season at the end of the season and kind of work our way to that moment. So
yeah,
I guess, well, you know, in reality they could technically go with the brother situation.
Yeah, and it's killing me that I can't find a screen grab. Like I found screen grabs of the crystal, but I can't find a screen grab of the calendar. Because I don't know if the calendar was just there to show that it's 2049, but they could have just done that with a card, like a title card, you know, on the scene, right? But it was a calendar with a specific date on it in 2049, because I don't know if that date has any significance. So if anybody knows what that date was, and if there is any like comic significance to that, please let us know, because I'm probably just going to rewatch the episode and just fast forward to the end and try to find that freaking date, because I don't know if it's important or not, but like it's like Chekhov's gun kind of thing, right? You're going to show a specific date, not just say 2049, because usually when they go to 2049, they just say 2049 on the little title card, you know, at the bottom of the screen or whatever. But this is a specific date on a calendar. So it makes me think that there's some sort of importance to that. And I just don't know what it is.
Possibly. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. I think it's also very possible that we could be looking at a situation where literally, you know, they thought this was a series finale, so they just needed to toss something in and then threw in like the time aspect to, for one thing, so they could include the kids. Like whenever anything's with the future, that means we can get the kids in some, you know, form or fashion. But the other thing is, you know, like they kind of leaves them a larger canvas. You know what I mean? Like, as a,
right.
like here's a couple of different ideas. Let's toss them in and we'll figure it out after the summer. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
Do you think the whole... No, they couldn't do the whole season in 2049 because of the Killer Snow.
Well, aspect. So that's what I was actually about to suggest. Like, that would actually kind of be cool, right? Like
it'd be really cool. It'd be like phenomenal.
The cast goes on kind of a whole, you know, road trip to the future. And then you spend the whole time in the future. And, you know, the great thing is if it's in the future, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Because
you can always come and fix it at the end.
But like, I was thinking, you know, just age them up. Not necessarily like take a trip to the future, but like it is the future.
Right.
And, you know, we just, it's just 2049 now. You know, that way we don't have to deal with the situation of Iris being pregnant and, you know, having the baby kids, but it's just the future now. And yeah. They've had the kids and, you know, we avoid that whole situation. And now it's time for Team Flash to be, you know, facing this. Do you think Cobalt Blue will be the avatar of the Negative Speed Force? I mean, that's not his powers in the comics.
It's what's implied. I think that's an unfortunate, cookie crumb to lay out there. I think they don't have to go that route. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll notice in this Caesar series finale or a season finale, nobody was calling Barry and Iris mom. You know, we had a full force, you know, family reunion, and nobody called him mom and dad. And yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, I think they know. I think they heard that. So, I mean, like, you know, I think yeah, this was great. You know, if there is anybody from the series still listening, and there may be, and there may not be, but let me just say this. Okay. The force stuff. I think that this was a better story than what came before. I think that people would really like this last season of The Flash to really focus on The Flash, not about the cosmic stuff, but like really get more to kind of some of the sciencey stuff. The Flash has always been like a sciencey meta. Yeah, no, I know there's cosmic nature to the Speed Force and everything else. That's cool. And that's a fun area to play with, but it can get a little too big. Like, bring it back down to something more tangible. I think that the science focus of Barry Allen as a hero and The Flash in particular, and the way in which, you know, they kind of study the Speed Force, getting further away from the spiritual nature of it, like, not saying that's not there, and we've seen it, and it's, I think that we've gotten a grand, epic, Armageddon, biblical-esque conclusion to that story, maybe pivot back to a little bit more of some sciencey. You got what seems to be implied with Malcolm, or with Cobalt Blue, being like that crystal being in a laboratory, maybe a little bit more of a science focus here as to what's going on. Maybe it is a Malcolm Thawne who is still trying to figure out what happened to his brother, and in the process, like, finds like this, like, the essence of the whatchamacallit from season one, the big blue thing that sucked everybody up, singularity, right? The essence of that, and has been like keeping it in this crystal, trying to bring his brother back, and in the process, you know, touches, you know, something that gives him some sort of crazy powers or what have you. On top of that, we also got Killer Snow busting out of the cryo freezing frame refrigerator, right? That, like, we've got some sort of like sci-fi villain-esque situation that's going on with her. Like, get a little bit more, you know, sciencey and less mystical. I think that'd be great. A good way to finish strong. That's what I think.
I agree. You know what else I'd also like to see?
What's that?
Some Flash family stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
Jay, the kids, Barry,
just chilling, just going on a beach trip. Obviously you were going a different direction. Go ahead. Yeah.
But like, you know, just Flash family stuff, like where we get them all, you know, teaming up and doing stuff together. I mean, we've gotten team ups before, but it's always been like limited episodes and stuff. But like, let's just get them all together, and in the future we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, we can have Barry, you know, doing heroics with his kids.
Have him go to an escape room. You know, go to Disney World. Training. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they're going to do, like, if they wanted to focus on the mystical aspects, like you said, they're there. If they had a Wally show, that would be how you'd want to do it. You want to do it with Wally, because that's how they established, you know, his character is more attuned to the spiritual side of the Speed Force. But like, that's never been Barry's strong suit. And so, yeah, bringing back the science stuff, I think would be pretty cool. I think that would be a nice way to sort of like, maybe we can get another Sherlock-esque investigation of a crime scene.
That'd be amazing. Could you imagine? We haven't seen
since the first episode of the first season.
I
agree with you on that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think that's great. Well, hey, we got a lot of good stuff coming your way here at TV Talk. Like I mentioned before, we've got some Umbrella Academy TV Talk we're going to throw at you. We got some Kenobi TV Talk, like a full retrospective on this first season coming at your way. We got some movies. We got Thor Love and Thunder. We got a panel to screen for that coming at you. So we got a lot of stuff. Be ready for some fun things. You can head over to tvtalk.fm to find all of our contact information. Let us know which you want us to review next.
We'd love to hear that from you. Bell, any final thoughts before we sign off here for the season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, all things told, I think it was a great episode. I like the suggestions that we put forth as far as for the forces and stuff like that, better than what we got. But again, it was still overall good. I enjoyed this two-parter season finale. And yeah, you know, it kind of felt like a series finale, but you know, I'm glad we're getting another season because they set up some pretty neat stuff. So I'm looking forward to the future, and I think it you know, if we got the strongness of this season in next season, you know, then I think we're off to the races. We're off to a good season. Good. I'm assuming final season. I don't know, but I'm gonna guess that season 9 is going to be the end of The Flash.
Please look, I don't get me wrong, we'll still review it, like, it's great, you know, but like, my goodness, we need a reboot so bad right now. I want another Flash. This is what it is. Like, Grant has been great, the team has been great, the actors, all of them, they're wonderful. They did a great job, and there's some great people behind the scenes who have rotated in and out throughout the years who've done a great job as well. But this franchise is so all over the map in an era. This is a different era of TV, you know what I mean? Like, they've adjusted. I will say this, they have adjusted better than most in that they're breaking apart a season to tell these more condensed stories as a way to speak more into where we are as kind of like, you know, a television consuming audience, right? And what we expect in terms of, you know, tighter stories and less kind of commitment in terms of the amount of content that's there. Make them a little bit quicker, make them more condensed, make them more bang for your buck. I think that's good. They've taken that approach. The problem is they're still working off of like a CW budget with a lot of these shows that don't need that anymore. Go, like, we need an HBO, like, we need an HBO live action Flash series. You know what I mean? Well, like, we need something, yeah, like with some money behind it that can do some really big things. Like, we need, you know, this cast was fantastic when they were first announced, and they're still great, but they're all tired. They're all exhausted. They've run their race. Let them rest. Let's get, like, we need a new series. We need a new Flash. So, great.
Well,
final, that's wonderful. We'll look forward to it. We'll cover it, but let's let this last one be the last one.
You know, I heard a rumor. that, you know, this is some Twitter rumblings, and so who knows how true it's going to be, but basically, like, the idea is that they're trying to take the DC stuff off the CW and move it more towards HBO Max.
So that they can
you know, they can bring their, because they have a lot of shows on the CW that are not superhero related that do really well, and so they want to take that to sort of, you know, just like how Disney has Marvel on Disney Plus, HBO Max can have, you know, DC live action TV shows in the same way that Disney Plus has. And so that was a little rumor that I had heard. That's the direction that they're moving. They want to finish off these CW shows, let them end, and then basically either reboot or do whatever on HBO Max and just bring out you know, new superhero shows.
It's good stuff, man. I think it's that would be the direction I would like to see it. But let us know your thoughts. You can, of course, tweet us at TV Talk FM. You can find all of our contact information at tvtalk.fm. Hey, follow Bell on Twitter at Ring That Bell is the place to do that. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.